5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
sink.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the TTV Podcast, 238, I believe. I'm Mesa.
Yeah, boy.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Ven.
I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
And I was completely wrong. It's not 238, it's 237.
Wow. And I'm the XX Trooper, okay. Which Meso just completely forgot. I exist too.
Wow.
Why do you guys
so we're going to chalk that up. Episodes without error, zero. Good
how's
job.
How's it going, guys?
It's going all right.
It's going.
Pretty good.
Good to hear.
Everyone's going so good that it's boring.
Anything particularly interesting happening?
So the Switch came out.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
You made the Switch. How's it been?
I made the Switch and I don't regret it.
No.
I know that there's been problems that people have been having with it, with launch. Like apparently the left Joy-Con is still desyncing with some people, and then there's
the
scratches. The screens are easily scratchable. It kind of sucks. I don't really care. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
I applaud you.
I stayed up almost a whole night the other night just playing Zelda on there. And
get lucky.
I also spent almost the entire time just kind of switching in between the different modes that I could play. Like, I love it so much. Had to bring it around with me when I went out yesterday.
Very nice. Well...
Nerd.
How is the transportation functionality? How does it work? You know, like, is it as seamless as they advertised?
Oh, yeah.
Pick up and go?
The second you take it out of the holder, or whatever it's called, the mount.
The dock?
The dock, yeah, thank you. The second you take it out of the dock, what you were doing on the screen just pops up just like that. It takes like a split second.
That's crazy.
So that... It's really impressive. And another thing, I opened up my custom painted mask shop. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
remember that you had asked us to plug that on Brickfeed, and everyone forgot to. So explain this.
Oh, wow. Okay. So anyway, basically, I will be doing, I guess, sort of commissions. I'll be accepting requests to paint. Bionicle masks and this and the like. I can do simple repaints, custom designs that take up a whole mask. Like, I don't know. I have plenty of examples in the topic on the message board, so you can check that out, get an idea of what I can do, and how much I will be selling them for. So, as of right now, as of the time of this recording, I'm actually putting together a list of masks that I have readily available. Whatever masks I don't have available, or, you know, I can, I will be making orders for every now and then, so that way you guys can get whatever mask you want. Like, don't worry, won't make too many exceptions, unless the mask is, like, $20 online, like a silver Nuva mask. Those things are ridiculous. So, no, so be ready for that. Let me think. Is there anything else? No, that's it. I'm painting masks.
That's awesome.
Can I get a discount?
No.
What Please? About me, man?
Can I get my white skull?
Maybe when I'm made of money, then I can give discounts. No,
can I have a discount now?
You can have a discount if you send me the mask that you want me to paint.
Oh, snap. Really?
Yeah, I'll knock like $2 off the final order.
That's so generous of
hopefully
you.
Hopefully that should compensate for
nice.
Whatever.
Compensate for your own shipping
pick.
To send it?
Yeah. Because, like, on one hand, it's like, okay, that's cool. I'm not asking anybody to send in their masks, but if they decide to do that, then I feel like I should be a little bit generous.
Modalt Masks does that. They're like, if you send in masks, you get discounts on your order. That's a common practice.
Oh, beans. You gotta contest with them.
Yeah.
No, here's the thing that, like, I realized this. Modal, he doesn't do straight up recolors.
He does elaborate decals.
He does, yeah, elaborate detailing and the carving and stuff. He modifies the masks and transforms them into like something completely different. You know, he makes some crazy stuff. I can't really do that, but I will do repaints.
Yeah.
So, it's like what we lack in one area, the other person can make up for. So it's
and
kind
both
of
are applicable. Like, for instance, if I wanted a skull Scorpio mask painted white in areas to look like a Punisher skull, I would go to Modal Masks because he has that mask available, like, right now for purchase. But if I wanted just a straight-up skull mask and white for myself, Mock, I'd come to you. Because
yeah,
I use fancy designs.
And I can make a couple of designs. I'm in the process of just trying to come up with some. I'm trying to grab a bunch of spare masks that I have as well so that I can just paint over them and show off what designs I can offer right off the bat. And I'll also be taking... Yeah, of course, like the camouflage design or the carnage design that I put up in the topic. And I will actually also take specific design requests. Like, the other day I got a request from Elyra, actually, and she wanted, like, a sort of galaxy-looking pattern on her request. And it's funny, because I got that order, I'm like, oh, geez, I hope I can make that happen.
Yep.
But yeah, that's the cool part. Like, I will go out of my way to make that design happen. I like to think of myself as pretty ambitious. So if you got a cool idea, don't hesitate to let me know. Just give me a good description. I'll see what I can do, and I'll show you what I have before you finalize your payment.
Very nice.
Then can you paint a howl mask as Pepe the Frog?
Yes.
Alright.
I'll do that.
I'll get back to you on that. Alright.
Incredible.
At the time of this recording, I also haven't exactly figured out international shipping yet. So bear with me.
Nice.
I'm going to, as soon as I find the time to look into it.
Let me help you out with that, Ven. Figuring out international shipping. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ta-da. And I know it's also going to vary, so that's going to be really tricky to deal with. But it will come.
There are actually a few colors you can't paint in. Is that right?
What?
There are a few colors you're unable to paint in right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, as of right now, there are also a couple of colors I haven't exactly figured out yet, like gunmetal, Brutaka gold, dark gold from like Takanuva, the classic purple. Pretty soon I'm gonna be getting lime green, but as of right now, don't have it yet. So, but that is another thing I'm willing to do, is I will actually try to get the paints to match these colors, and I will try my best to match the color of the official Bionicle color palette or whatever you would really want.
I have a question.
Hello.
So, let's say that I really like the display sets, which I do, and they get dusty, which they do. Can I wash it? Like, how durable is the paint?
The paint, you can wash it. It'll be fine by the time it gets sent to you. Just don't rub it too hard or anything, you know? Like, don't use a sponge on them or anything. So that will not only ruin the quality of the paint, you also risk chipping it and just scratching it completely. Like, no, why would you even want it? Anyway, if you need to clean it because it gets dusty, you could run it under some water. It's fine.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great, Vin.
That's it.
It's very cool that you've done this new initiative. I hope it goes over well. I like having something like this on our boards run by us just for, like, small-scale orders. It's quite cool that you're actually doing this initiative.
And I've been wanting to do this for a while, so it's like, the other day I was thinking about it, I was already painting some stuff for this guy, and I was like, you know what, I'll just go ahead and start up the shop right now, and if I need to make any improvements, I will, and I'll try to be as lenient as I can be, while also being fair about my prices, so.
Well, alright. Well, that is very cool. I'm glad that you've done that. What else has been going on this week? Anything at all? Anybody have anything to talk about?
Well, I guess I, like, got a job insanely quickly.
That's really cool.
Well, yeah. Tell that story a bit.
So, like, the last couple months, I've been, like, waiting on a couple offers about getting a job from, like, people that I know, and they haven't gotten back to me, and finally it's like, you know, I really do need to get one. So I submitted my application, or, like, my resume to someone this week, but then, like, the next day I saw this offer from somebody I know who has a special needs son that's, like, 16, and I thought about, like, I had thought about being a caretaker for him before, but he had already somebody filling in the position, so I didn't want to come up and ask them about it, like, hey, you know, put me down for the next time it opens up. But so the position was open. I wasn't ready to go yet. I waited on my laundry to be done, and so I showed up a few hours after the offer was posted, and, like, within 10 minutes, like, this lady was so excited to have me fill in for it that it was, like, guaranteed me. I was just going to go in and, like, hey, can you consider me for, like, interviewing me? Like, I thought maybe there'd be, like, a pool of applicants or something that they'd eventually look over. But then she's like, if you want the job, it's yours. So
that's awesome.
She was pretty hyped. She's like, I'm getting goosebumps from this. So I already start, like, so her current caretaker quits, like, next week. And I'm, like, shadowing this girl for next week to just see what it's like. And then I get a week break, and then I actually start. So pretty exciting.
Well, that is fantastic. That is great to hear. It means everybody in this call, we in the workforce, guys.
The only problem is the current Brick Fair conflict, so hopefully I'll be able to make it, but they said that they really need me there the same week that Brick Fair
would
be. Hopefully
everyone else will, too.
Yeah, nothing's locked in yet. So. Well, yeah, still, that's awesome. Like, that was very great to hear. Congrats on that, man. I mean, Envy. I'm trying to, like, start calling you
Mange, Envy, whatever you want to call me.
I'm trying
me
to call you Envy on the podcast. Mange. You know, at least.
Yeah,
it's like John,
cut down confusion,
Envy,
man.
What if I just made the switch? I go to my first name. I'll just call me Justin right now.
Do it, Justin.
All right. Let's
your
do
name's
it.
Justin?
I'm Justin.
Justin.
Oh, shoot. I wasn't supposed to say
news
that.
Justin. Andrea Nita.
Dang it, I was going to make that joke.
Well, you can't now.
You're Meso, too slow.
You are a significant reason. Okay, not a significant reason, but a reason why I'm not going to change my online name like Fleffy's done.
Why? Because I just won't do it?
You just won't do it. Or
I try,
forget,
man.
Or you'll
I almost completely started calling Fleffy.
Listen, I have to say, trying isn't enough.
Because
after, I don't know how long, still haven't made that much of an effort.
I'm like the only
what
other
mean,
person
Connie?
In this. I'm like the only other person in this group who calls you John, just because of that snarky remark. I'm going back to Connie.
I call him John. I call him Little Johnny.
I'm like the only one who that actively does it.
And that really should say something about how everyone else does it.
I'm like, hey, Kahi, and then the next time, hey, John, and then back, hey, Kahi. Like, it keeps flipping back and forth for me. I'm working on it.
At least I can say I am very consistent.
Dude, same.
Alright. Well, I guess if nothing else interesting happened this week, I suppose nothing much did.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think. I totally had a story last week for stuff that happened, too.
It's been rather an uneventful week.
No,
to be
not
complete.
For me.
Stanley,
no,
answer, you
okay.
Speak now.
Well, I'm still in my project of, like, refurnishing my entire room, and right now, as I'm speaking, I am... Hi, man. Right now, I'm sitting here going through all my building instructions that I've ever made, and I'm, like, cataloging and just sorting them, and it's a trip, you know? Like, I've gone through, like, a lot of the Bonkle Rahi instructions, and it's a blast, you know? It's a fun thing. There's some Exoforce in here as well. There's literally everything. I'm actually surprised. I'm actually surprised that I have, like, taken, like, good care of absolutely all my building instructions through the years.
Very nice. Did you end up buying a bunch of the sets that you were looking at on Snapchat? Like, did you buy any of those?
No, that was, there was actually, like, an old LEGO Agents thing that was for half price, like, completely half price, and that is, like, that doesn't happen in Norway. This is not a thing. Like, if you see 20%, on something, that's a gold mine. That's the best thing that will ever happen to you. But this was an old LEGO like Ultra Agent set, and it was like olive green machine with like big rotor thingies. It's a weird thing.
It's a rotor thing.
Yeah, I don't know it's how to call it. It's like a double helicopter things. It's olive green. Olive green.
I know what you're talking about, the hurricane.
Yeah,
olive green.
Yeah, but like I considered buying it, but it was not something that I ever looked for. Ever. Mm. So I held on to it for half an hour. Then at the end I just did buy it. And
That's fair. Ultra Agents had a lot of cool sets. Like if the one you're talking about is the one I think you're talking about.
It is the exact one. It's the hurricane
heist. That was a cool set. I thought about getting a lot of the Ultra Agents sets, but I could never bring myself to actually do it. And it was kind of problematic because they had a lot of cool models for that line. I don't know. Well, that's awesome that you found some cool sets even if you didn't buy them.
Yeah. And they also had like old collectible minifigure packs for like 100 crones, which translates to for like one collectible minifigures, it was $12 for each one.
Wow.
It was like a couple series back. And yeah, shout out to Bookleman in our live studio audience who posted the Olive Green set with the rotors, you know, the thing.
Oh, hey, so it is rotors.
It is. Yeah, I was right, you know. I think it's just a color because I really like green, you know. Fist bump to LJ up there, you know. It's just, order a bunch of those parts online. It would just be lower price anyway. So it's just, I don't know. It was an emotional roller coaster, man. It was weird, but it's all in the past.
I saw this picture on the Bionicle Reddit, not to distract, but I like this picture.
Deliberately to distract.
This is a cross post from somewhere from our mildly interesting skull spiders in real life.
Okay, so first of all, you do not need to cut off X for this nonsense. Really?
I love
this
thing.
A thing?
No,
I was like done enough.
Oh my gosh.
Are you serious right now? That's literally just a spider with some white spots. Could, that's not even close to being a spider.
I hate
to
see the skull, Lord of those. Dude. It's got a skull. It's great.
You're ridiculous, man.
Yeah, okay.
It's got the little skull in the front. It's like the eye holes and like the cranium and then the jaw. It's great.
Maybe you're seeing what you want to see.
Yeah.
This is like the biggest Bonkle news these days, though.
Real life skull spider spotter.
Dude, this just did.
Shut up.
Well, alright. You guys aren't being helpful here. It was an interesting topic.
You're not being helpful.
Okay, listen. Alright. Last week, so I went to Vars last week, right? We hung out afterwards, after the podcast.
The cats didn't kill you.
Here's what happened. We actually went to the mall, and I gave him a tour of his own mall. Like, the mall with the Lego store in it. So it's like, it's not even like the one he has any excuse for not going to.
Full mall?
He had literally not, like, he had never explored the full mall. So I was like, he was like, where do we eat? And I'm like, well, okay, there's up here, there's two Chinese places. And then if you go downstairs, there's actually this Italian place. And then he was like, which one of these? He's like, well, okay, this one Chinese place has like a seafood kind of. So there's a ramen thing right next to it. And there's P.F. Chang's. And it's like, we were laughing about it. Because like, I was literally giving him a tour of his own place after being there for one day.
Went with him to that mall when I was over at his place.
Okay.
I got to see it first.
Sure. Ex-girlfriend.
Well, that's a funny story.
No, you know what? I'm really happy for you. I'm so
Me
glad
too.
That you can pin that onto your refrigerator of crap! Anyway.
I can.
Ouch.
It's there right now. You haven't been to his house.
Pin yourself.
Sorry to interrupt, but who here ordered a medium roast? Is everyone all right?
Nice.
Okay.
Wow.
Well,
See, it's difficult. Like,
good
everybody
job.
Wants to, like,
I want to just jump into the freaking discussion, but we freaking can't. Do you want to?
Just give some shout outs to like fan art and.
All right,
like,
let's go over some stuff.
And like,
let's
just go over some stuff. Thanks for all that contribution.
Yeah. Shout out to a lot of people. A lot of people have been posting stuff related to the elements. Some cool fan art's been coming up recently. I'm going to kind of go over a bunch of the stuff that's just been posted in the last week.
So, speaking of fan art,
what the
heck? I love this meme. It'll
the most important
the
fan art of this week.
All right,
by and large, the biggest thing that happened this week was the fan art done by Umatu. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I'm going to post this right here.
Umatu. No.
Scorpion Strike is in the live audience. He just posted a new fan art. I'm going to get to that later. Because
you're killing me.
Here's the thing about it.
I love this fan art, Scorpion Strike, but we'll get that in a second.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second because we'll go over this theme by Umatu first. Basically, he did a lot of art about Toa environments and their colors. And the thing that really stood out to me about this one was the environment, how varied and kind of like evocative they were. Purple is saying the same thing. She really like the environments here. Some of the colors, we were debating about some of the colors behind the scenes and like how they actually relate to what we would want in canon. But by and large, really love this fan art. Really reminiscent of like what Matt Medico was doing.
Yeah, even if it like gets tweaked or something color wise, the fan art is great. Like it's the designs are on point for
right.
Something. The biggest changes are making Kopaka the Toa of Lightning, which most everybody wasn't for until we saw this fan art, and then we were like, okay, that could be cool. You know, I know, like, we still have some mixed opinions on it, but this fan art helps sway a lot of people to that idea because of like, it keeps the general aesthetic of Kopaka, but it's clear that something's different. You know, like, he still has his mountains, you know, he still has the white, you know, the color scheme, but it's very clearly not Toa of Ice. So I think that's
right.
And then Pahatu's still Toa of Stone, which I know some people who
it's a terrible decision, but I have a solid argument.
Ice and water is done.
I like how he keeps the glowing orange rocks in like the stone piece.
It is absolutely not the case. Totally, and I would make my argument here if certain people had decided to come on today.
Yeah, well,
but instead I have to save it. But I have a solid argument.
Will not die.
Which has also been, well, we'll get back to that later. All right, so he also did some Rakshi designs, too, based off the Rakshi that me and Venom have been working
Rakshi
on.
The Rakshi designs are solid.
Yeah.
Look at that.
The Rakshi designs are solid.
I definitely prefer his Rakshi designs to his Toa designs.
Rakshi designs are boss, dude.
The only thing I have to say is that the Rakshi can't turn their heads.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of like having the he wanted to incorporate the spine back into the minifigure, the kind of design.
That's
to
pretty
it.
Much what I was going for with my design too. So I mean, it kind of makes sense.
You did the same thing too. So even like all things said and done, I still really like all these designs. I feel like they're very they're a good way to incorporate
really
what we're
nice.
Talking about.
I like the aesthetic that he gives them. I think that's my favorite part about like the tribal design mixed with the. Sort of, what is this biomechanical? He's pulling off the biomechanical thing really well.
I bemoan the fact that Gurok has no face tentacles, which makes him
Cthulhu.
No longer Cthulhu.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I would change, honestly. Like he was talking about how he didn't know if they'd be able to do a different print for each one of the Rakshi, which is fair. But that being said, I would really like to see like a bit of customization on there. I do think the tribal prints or the tribal like not prints, the little designs on the faces
tribal
are enough
markings.
To yeah, the markings are enough to separate them and kind of make them unique. But even still,
without doubt, my favorite of the bunch is the Mighty Panrak, the ultimate hodgepodge, throw together looking guy with his spindly legs and his like. Bat claws coming off of the back and the tail. It just looks hilarious.
How would those bat claws even work?
They probably work similarly to how the Nexo Knights ultimate figures where they have like a little backpack and then they have something like branching off. Because Insight's times 4. That's just a lot of stuff to tack on.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, it totally is. It's like he's built like a Chima figure, but with like a Mixel jointed tail and like Nexo Knight's backpacks with arms. It's pretty ridiculous, but I love it so.
He's ambitious, you know.
He's got plans, and again,
man,
are you allergic to concept art?
I'm allergic to conceptual.
Dude, text, my allergies have been acting up too. Like I've been having coughing fits, and my nose has been runny, and
allergies have been kind of killing me.
I think they're the first day of spring's on the 20th of this month.
They really
are. Like, spring's already almost here. Oh, I hate spring so much.
Really? Spring is the worst season for me.
Spring and summer, but it like I guess more so summer. It's basically just like that period of the year I have to slog through to get to the part I enjoy. Yeah, it's like
spring is the best part of the year, man. It's actually being warm out now. That's great. You can go hiking. You can go swimming.
I can't enjoy the warmer weather when I'm having a sneezing and coughing fit every 5 seconds.
That is
funny. I don't have allergies at all.
Congrats. Because you stay inside all the time.
You know what? Pin that onto your refrigerator of crap. Just kidding.
Jeez. I'm sorry. Evidently the customer service is horrible.
So
yeah. Get out of here. We don't serve losers, no.
Okay. For everyone that just heard that, don't go to this guy's shop. Come to LJ Recolor Emporium. We give you recolors for free colors. I was going somewhere with that.
What?
Oh my god.
Recolors for free colors.
You could see that. Like, it's almost like seeing a train wreck. You could see it like halfway through.
I can visualize the television.
He was like, I was hoping someone would interrupt me by now so that I could just
speaking of colors and train wrecks. Regarding his Toa concepts, I really hate pretty much all of these colors.
Whoa.
Like, trust me, they're very well drawn. He's an
hate
outstanding
concept. Hate is a strong word.
Artist.
Yeah, I would not say hate.
I mean, listen, I'm not speaking for you, but I think Anua's great. I think Tahu's great. I don't like Kopaka. I don't like Liwa. It's Liwa. Chump. And I don't like Gally. In fact, Gally is
like
Gally.
He's
light.
Got green, you know? Lime right. green.
The Var has arisen, so let's sink him in.
Time.
The Vark Knight rises.
Oh, are you with us? Alright.
Yeah. Wow.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, sink.
Sink.
Alright, welcome Var to the show.
I'm starting to question Var. Your ability to view color, LJ.
Yeah.
I'm starting to question your ability to be on time.
Oh!
Wow!
Where are you at?
Well done.
Where are you
both
at?
True statements that don't invalidate each other, so it's not like it was actually a.
Yeah, no, I feel like the colors are represented really well in all these pictures, and
they're,
I don't know. I think the color schemes are pretty good. In fact, they convinced me for Lightning Kopaka. I was not for that. I was not for that at all until I saw it.
I mean,
and I'm like, well, that actually does look pretty good.
I like certain aspects, but the thing is, there are just too many colors. Like for Gally, for instance. She's got two shades of blue, or actually three shades if you count the transparent, then the red/magenta, then whatever kind of a beige is on her arms, and then green.
It doesn't work. Gally is the only one I will outright say like that design would not
work.
One of those colors has to go.
I don't necessarily think it's the colors per se, though. Yeah. I will agree that Gally's could probably use one less color. However, I do feel like the designs themselves are quite busy. When I initially saw these, I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm all for the tribal like aesthetic here," but it might have taken it a bit too far in some instances, especially with Gally's. There's a bit too much going on with her design.
Well, it's because he tried to incorporate the swirly aspects to like emulate water in it, mm-hmm. and I feel like that it is a bit too busy. When conflicted with the angular
well, my thing
parts
is the,
of the
my, actually
control.
My thing is the green, parts there. I think either keep the green or keep the pink, either one, but get rid of one or the other. Both of them sort of conflict with the design and add a bit too much elements going on to the thing here.
Yeah,
so it ends up looking kind of muddy visually.
I think with the pink, it's the distribution.
I don't know. Yeah. I think
I feel like if it had been distributed.
No,
a little...
I think it's just the design. I think the colors are fine. It's just there's too much going on. Either cut one or the other. Yeah. I would also get rid of the brown shoulder pads too. You don't necessarily need that either, unless you want to make it look more like it's cloth or something. Something that it's more like clothing, an article of clothing. Then it might work.
It doesn't translate well. Mm-hmm. Personally, if I were in charge of doing coloration, I'd have only three colors per Toa.
Mm. I feel like that's a bit limiting, a limitation that you don't necessarily need to abide by because we're working with minifigure scale now and not trying to replicate everything through CCBS. I feel like you can get away with a lot of colors, but it just depends on how you actually implement them.
Right. Personally, I disagree. I think it's actually more necessary to limit the colors because they're minifigures. Because with too many colors, it can get very cluttered, very ugly looking very quickly.
That's true, but the
latest Aaron minifigure from Nexon Knights.
You're right, it could be, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't, because it could be bad.
I feel like if you're not doing it properly, yes, but with the minifigure scale, you have a lot more freedom to actually represent what you're trying to implement on your figure. Right.
In minute detail, basically.
Yeah. I don't think it works for Golly as much. Golly is my least favorite of these, but I really, really, really like it.
Golly's my favorite. Never give up concept artist.
If I had to say my least favorite...
Oh, don't say it.
Okay, it's Leela.
Oh, okay.
The Leela design... I like the Leela design, the white and the green. I just don't like the shade of purple or pink or magenta,
I guess.
I like
Leela because it's fresh.
It is fresh and it's new.
I do think... It is strange that the mask not being green makes him look the most unrecognizable out of the bunch.
I think it's just because the mask isn't a very good representation of a Miru.
Yeah, I think it just doesn't look like a Miru. Honestly, when I saw it, because the reason I didn't make Leo's mask a different color was because I feared it would be too unrecognizable when I made my concepts. So that's why I try to stick with some kind of green shade here. Honestly, though, after seeing someone that actually did do it, where the color is a different color, I actually feel like my fears are a bit misguided. I feel like the other color for the mask actually works quite well. I think here it's just the Miru isn't really a very good Miru, more so than the color makes it unrecognizable.
Yeah, this is an issue I have with a lot of these concepts, but Leewa fairly well exemplifies it. He's too dark. I don't like this shade. It just looks very...
Well, it's like it's no real shade of green that exists, or like even the white.
Yeah, but it's
because
it's
of the pin color.
Too dark, and it conflicts too much with what looks to be silver. I know it's white, but it looks very silverish. And
what
anyway,
if
I don't
Leewa
like
had olive green? Everybody hate that, because that's basically what that color is.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I love olive green. I think that would look amazing.
I'd have to see how it looks, but I wouldn't be opposed. Olive green and white, that's
I feel... I feel like olive green's a bit too earthy of a color.
Yeah, I agree. I think
that might
be
seen on Anua.
Like earthy?
Yeah, it's earthy.
It's supposed to be the toe of air.
Yes, this is the toe of air.
So why if it's air, why is it green in the first place?
Exactly.
Well, that was part of why we were changing it.
Yeah.
But I mean, one of the suggestions for the environment of the Toa of Air would be floating islands, in which case I could actually kind of see the green aesthetic working pretty well.
Floating islands could be cool.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I feel like he does a good job of differentiating the two types of green between air and earth, that it's not too conflicting for me. In fact, I feel like his earth one is the best out of all of these.
I love
absolutely
Onua
my
concept.
Favorite.
I love Onua so much.
Yeah, Onua is the best.
Onua is, I think, essentially exactly how I'd like him, except for maybe the printing on the knees, like the little tribal thing on the knees. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Everything else is almost solid. Just what
this
I
guy kind
of
subverts what I was going for with my concept, where I made the mask colors the secondary color scheme for the overall figure, whereas he seems to be going for the mask color being the primary, which is fine.
That's
it's just a different
usual.
Take.
Yeah.
We have to
so I believe what
it,
he's
yeah.
going for here is white is Leewa's primary, with green being the secondary, possibly. But, I mean, there is more green on that figure, so I don't know.
Generally, as it is, you know, the primary tends to be the color that's used more, so it'd be green in this instance.
Right.
There's a lot less white. So yeah, I think
definitely.
Leewa is the one that follows that trend.
Fair enough.
I mean, the rest of them, we only talk about, you know, on this podcast, we talk about the stuff we don't like way more than we talk about the stuff we like. I can't express enough how much I like the rest of these designs.
I could gush about Pahatu for a good while, but I'd probably be alone because nobody else really likes Pahatu.
I like the design of Pahatu quite enough.
Pahatu looks
good,
it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it. And, I mean, we already established we're not a big fan of the current Pahatu, so...
I know. I'm fine.
Yeah, same.
I also really like Tahu. I was initially thrown by the blue, but because I was confused by it on United Tahu as well.
I have fully embraced the blue.
Fun. Yeah. It's cool. I think the blue helps with, like, the... Like, very, very bright fire at its core. It's blue, you know, it goes blue and then kind of red,
yeah,
orange, yellow at the outside, so...
And it just looks great. It complements the red color scheme so well.
Right, and because it's not overdone.
Yeah.
Both in this one and the Tahu concept.
It's this specific
shade
of blue,
too. Not a fan of
blue.
Not a fan of it.
Yeah,
well, I'm not
here.
A fan of you, so it's okay. I'm just kidding.
I don't really like the blue. I wasn't the biggest fan
of it. I actually
do
not think it complements it very well, to be honest.
If you're gonna introduce the blue, introduce it either at a later time or with less shades of orange and red.
Fair enough. I'm not opposed to introducing the blue at a later time. I do think the first Tahu concept that we got, and I'm trying to right now to figure out, like, find the username of the guy who did it. So give me one second. But the one we talked about a couple weeks ago, that Tahu I felt was very, very well done.
I didn't like the blue there either.
I felt the blue there was.
I thought the blue was fine.
Was fine in that one.
So,
I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I thought it was, like, gray. I didn't immediately recognize that it was blue. I thought it was supposed to be, like, the gears and the metallic, kind of bluish-gray color. This is more of, like, a vibrant blue. It's clearly supposed to be, like, a contrast.
This blue does not feel very vibrant at all. It's more of a duller blue.
Yeah.
Regarding that original,
it's a very desaturated version of blue. It's there a darker, it unsaturated blue.
Nice.
Yeah, Ragdoll was a user who created that on our boards.
Good guy,
so
Ragdoll.
This is more of a purple than a blue.
Sure. That's all right.
I guess.
The purple works a bit better, but it's also analogous to the red, so that's probably why it works better. Whereas blue is not really analogous or...
I feel what you're saying.
Okay. Sure.
This might be my monitor, but still, when I look at the Ragdoll tie, I see gray.
It's
G1
very
gear gray.
It's very grayish in the upper right, like, pose of him. But on the bottom left and in the color palette he used at the bottom, it's pretty clearly a purple.
Mm-hmm. He has a little, like, he actually has the palette down there, and it's purple. Mm-hmm.
I do see the palette. Well. Yeah.
It's a good concept. I don't know. I don't really like the use of the blue here in this current Tahu. It looks okay for what it's going for, but personally, I would just take it out.
Ditto.
I don't think it really does anything to help out the design.
I'm not opposed to bringing it back for his upgrade, if we are going to
do
that.
Yeah,
me
neither.
I do
like it.
I kind of do like the concept of it. It did. It still, like, confused me a little when, like, Lego did it, because it was out of nowhere, but I like following up on the evolution in a sense, but maybe not immediately. What do we make of Kopaka's red? Because on the one hand, I don't know why it's there, but on the other hand, I kind of like it.
I like the contrast it brings to the character. I feel like for a character that's otherwise boring, like, kind of this very cool muted shade of blue and white, you know, it brings, like, this kind of element to it that I feel.
I don't like it with the yellow.
I wouldn't. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that.
Colors.
I don't really like it with the yellow.
I'd rather cut it down to white, blue, and yellow.
I just hate that.
I think that works.
It's like the side effect of making a lightning character. You got to deal with that putrid shade of, like, trans neon yellow or whatever.
Well, imagine if he
doesn't
wasn't
work
lightning.
With many colors.
Imagine if he wasn't lightning in a different.
To
element,
me, it doesn't really read as a red. It reads more as a darker orange,
like a brown.
Orange.
Yeah,
brownish.
Yeah, brownish.
Burn orange.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I actually wanted,
which is complementary to the blue, so it actually does kind of work for me.
I guess it was like reddish brown, maybe.
It doesn't look like that to me at all. It just looks like dark red.
I threw around the concept beforehand of, like, Kopaka having this kind of, like, a fur, a minifigure fur coat kind of deal. So to me, that this thing, like, emulates that without necessarily having that.
Yeah, it looks like a color scheme I would actually find on some kind of tribal mask or something.
Right.
I think it works a lot for me. It adds a lot of more interest to his color scheme, because otherwise just white and blue is really boring, and the yellow doesn't do much to make it not more boring.
Right.
So, I don't know. I feel like the darker orange here does a lot to sort of subvert expectation and give it a bit more visual interest without muddying it up too much like it does for the Golly. Maybe if... I think, once again, I feel like it's more of the usage, of, like, the actual pattern that he's doing. I feel like the pattern itself is just a bit too sporadic and random. There's not enough thought put into it.
Well, if you look at, like, you look at how his chest armor is done, one part has some, like, some lines going down his chest. The other half part has
the dots.
Yeah, right. The dots and stuff. And so, like, that's what I totally agree with.
I mean, it's like G2's printing, you know? It's just scribbles and lines.
No, I understand. I feel like
there might be a bit more thought put into this one than G2's personally, but yeah. I don't know. But it still doesn't quite work. I think he needs to be a bit more I don't know.
Almost like a more minimalistic careful. Approach to the,
yeah,
the
a little bit more minimalistic with the tribal patterns.
I would say that going back to Golly, the green works on her more than the if you had to get rid of the pink, I would say okay, sure, but I would keep the green
because that already has like pre-existing implementation, because like there's algae and like plant
right
life
exactly and it, there's also like
that's what Hollymore is
it's another about. It's another color that complements her color scheme while also subverting expectations a bit and still working well, and I feel the same with Kapaka if the red gave it to him too as well.
Right. Someone did point out in the chat, Bukelman, live studio audience, become a patron to join in, that Kobaka looks like the color of the Raid Zeppelin Ninjago balloon, which I can totally see. It's not the dark red,
I don't see
like
that.
The brownish kind of orange.
Yeah, like it's like a darker orange brown.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
That's what I was seeing,
but
too.
It's difficult to tell because these are drawings, you know. It's like,
right. I see dark red, but
yeah, it's not that difficult. You can put it up in Photoshop and do color picker. It's clearly a darker orange brown. It's pretty much the exact same color there. I don't know. I think it works pretty well. I just think he needs to be a bit more a bit more minimalistic with the pattern, and I think it could work well. Personally, I do really like the yellow added here. I know Aldrin, you're not a big fan of it, but I personally like it a lot.
No,
I think it's
the yellow I like. It's the red dark.
Yeah, it's
orange
me that hates the yellow. Hate the color on principle, but like I also want Kapaka to be a Toa of Lightning. I just don't think it's a complementary color with much in LEGO's palette. It does work with this one because like it's gone next to the blue, which I guess could look cool. Like vibrant lightning, you know, it gets that look across.
It's a bit more forgiving in this instance, I feel, simply because it's meant to represent the color of the element itself.
Truth.
I feel like that helps make it easier for me to read. More so than any of the other Toa, because really the other Toa is their highlight color isn't really anything special. It's more just complementary colors or different analogous colors for what they're currently using. Whereas this one's not. This is very clearly meant to represent the element itself. It's a bit of an anomaly versus all the other ones, but I think it works well here.
Vin's done color picker red confirmed for
Yeah.
It's it's orange. It's definitely like it's not necessarily red right yet. It's in that like.
It's in
the reddish
shade.
It's, yeah, sure. It's also in the orange shade.
It's in the orange shade for me.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I did color picker too. Here, I'll push it for you. It's very clearly on the orange pattern.
The cut great
Meso,
color
we
walk.
Need to stand out of this one. We only deal with blue.
Yeah, our specialty is blue, not orange. I can't, like, comment on orange.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow, I don't have Poosh installed for some reason.
Nice rats.
Oh, you have to print screen it.
Yeah, I gotta print screen it the old-fashioned way.
Oh boy,
you can still
like
copy
a nub.
That.
Oh man, well.
So let's talk about Scorpion Strike real quick.
He's done a massive elemental essay.
Yes, and also I wanna if you could post your fan art again, because I don't know how many of all of us were able to see that the last time. You posted a bit of Leland beforehand, and I don't know if he's done any other things, but really, so yeah. I really like this style. I've
he just needs the cape to like tie it together.
Ooh,
but
that's a really nice style.
See,
now
this
he did something that a lot of people will find a little controversial. He wants to include pink in the Liwa color scheme.
A lot seem to.
Okay, now we have a problem. I was with you until that.
That seems to be a recurring trend.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at the minifigure, it actually does have a shade of pink. Obviously, it's not, like, bright pink or anything. It's, like, a pale...
I like the style.
Kind of...
I don't think I like the pale pink.
No. No, I don't.
I have a legitimate question here. Why... I'm not even against it. Why is pink the go-to color for Air? Does that have, like, any connotation,
yep,
or
no,
is
it
just a contrast
in
color?
It does. In the essay, he notes that that pink is essentially used for, like... I don't know, it was World War II. It was for fighter planes to everyone to blend into the sky more. Actually, the sky has a distinct, like, pink actually blends in with the wind and the air a lot more than you think it does. It looks odd when you have it on the ground, but in the sky is actually kind of like a camouflage.
That makes sense.
So
that does make sense.
So yeah, I mean, like, the reasoning behind it makes sense to me. Reasoning behind it is solid. The problem is that I just don't like how it looks.
Yeah, it's like when I think pink, because yeah, the logic's sound, but when I think pink, I don't think air. I think cherry tree blossom.
That's the problem. The thing is that when you say pink is as air, you have to explain it, and if you have to explain it, then you're losing the element of a color scheme, which is you have to visually recognize what it's supposed to be.
I mean, to be fair, we asked that in G1 with Levo Mata, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. No,
we all can probably agree that green as air was not the best choice.
That's why we were trying to change it.
I will agree that it's not, like, the paramount of problems.
Yeah, at least this time we would have an explanation.
Right, that is true.
Yeah, it's like, out of all the problems in G1, like, we're spending a lot of time on elements, it's on the minor end of the problems. People accept the elements for what they are. People are like, okay, cool, I can get behind it.
Okay, can we, can we jump into an element discussion? Can I preface it with, like, what we're basically the thing we're gonna get into? All right. So, long story short, out of all the added elements that we were kind of considering, lightning has been the one that most of us have agreed. Right, we can make this one an element. Most of us are okay with that as being accepted. And now the discussion is right now: with lightning, are we going to replace ice? Are we going to replace stone? We did come to a decision, kind of over the week after since the last podcast aired, that we're mostly okay with having the 6 Toa, so we're not going to eliminate Toa like we were talking about last week. But
it's
which one should
like
we replace?
Lightning works as an element, and there are two choices. So all right, yeah.
So okay, so I am going to and Scorpion Strike again. He did this very, very good in depth look at the elements. Actually, brought up a lot of points, and it was actually a great case or evidence for me to kind of propose. Well, I think ice should be kept and stone discarded, and why ice is more distinct as a thing from water than stone is from earth. But okay, so. Here's the basic process of it. He proposes that there are two types of elements. There's these things called material elements, and then there's process elements. So, all right, let me give you guys an example, right? If Gali and Tahu combined their attacks, they would make either just direct steam, or, like, you know, if Tahu was to fire up like a pool, like a lake, right? He could make it boil. You know, because if you directed his elemental power fire into this lake, it would kind of make that water boil. Gali can't do that. So, in essence, he's proposing that Gali's power, she can manipulate all things related to water and kind of, you know, at any temperature that they're at, but she can only create water at her own body temperature. She cannot manipulate the temperature of water. So, if you think about fire itself isn't really an element. Fire is a chemical... reaction,
chemical
a sense.
Reaction, yeah.
Right, but you never see, like, whenever you see fire, it's always burning something. It's not just coming out of nowhere, you know. If you see it at a campfire, it's burning wood. If you have, like, a little lighter, it's burning the chemical inside the lighter. And he was saying that, like, if Tahu threw air, or not air, if he threw, like, oil at someone, he could light the oil on fire, but he couldn't control the oil, you know. He can only kind of control the flame. So in essence, fire and ice are more accurately referred to as heat and cold. And fire in itself, like, fire can increase the temperature of something, and ice decreases the temperature of something. And so in that sense, fire and ice, like, if they're both equally valid as elements. If fire's there, ice also has to be there. And Gali, you know, in the same way that, like, Gali wouldn't be able to, like, turn a lake boiling, you know, and manipulate that temperature, we would see that outside of our elemental purview, I would say, at least. I wouldn't say that Gali could make, like, water hot. But at the same time, could she make water cold? Could she lower the temperature of water? I don't think that's inside her purview either. She's able to do one, you know, or the other. I feel like she can do enough by, I mean, and what do you say is that, like, Kopaka can freeze anything, not just water, right? He lowers the temperature of anything. So he could create icicles using the moisture in the air and throw them at something, but he couldn't, Gali could also manipulate the icicles because they're made out of water. But she can't create ice. She can't manipulate the temperature of the element that she's using. The same way that with Tahu as well, you know, Tahu can manipulate the temperature higher, and Kopaka manipulates the temperature lower, essentially. So,
okay.
Ice is valid as an element because fire is considered an element.
But is it valid enough? That's the question.
Yes, I mean, it's
is
as valid as
really
fire.
Is valid enough for...
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean by valid really? Enough? It's as valid... It's equally as valid as fire, because they're just
manipulating
temperatures.
I mean, you can make that argument for, like, why it is technically distinct, but is it distinct enough to warrant being chosen over other elements?
I 100% believe so. And I feel like like, looking back at, like, other characters in fictional history, that also agrees with me. I think ice by itself, visually and as a power set, is distinct enough that you can make entire characters based around that. And there have been many characters around that in the past. Just off the top of my head, you know, you're thinking of, like, Frozone. You're thinking of, like, Iceman from the X-Men, you know, Mr. Freeze. Just, like, all these. There's a lot of ice-based characters in fiction, because the concept of cooling, the concept of ice, is a very visually distinct power that can be used in all sorts of different power sets. Which is why I think we should keep ice and replace stone with lightning. And lightning also will tie into Pohatu's use of speed and, you know, his mask powers and his abilities in that sense.
I'm not opposed, but here's a question.
Go for it.
For Kopaka, we have a lightning landscape already established in that concept art.
Right.
And it works cool. What the heck would Pohatu's be?
I did a little bit of concept art. I have to take a photo of it before. But the way I described it beforehand, it would kind of be like, if you remember, I'll give you a combination of two images here. All right, so Kardanui. You remember what Kardanui looks like? Kardanui is kind of like this this mountain that's kind of expands outwards. It's smaller in the center and the lower down it is, and it kind of grows out like that, right? So it's kind of like this stone thing, and that would be combined with imagine that, but the atmosphere around it is very stormy, like this.
Hmm.
So okay. So that is, so you combine those two things together. In the middle you have this kind of island, kind of like a T, you know, when you put a golf ball on, you know, it's like, it's kind of narrow
Purple
in the center, and it kind of
for that.
Goes
Let me
up
go ahead and dig that up real quick.
Sure. And then on the around it, swirling around it, is this giant mass of, like, kind of purplish storm. Also, I mean, I was talking about purple being a color for lightning, and I feel like the images that I have kind of describe that a bit more. But there'd kind of be, like, this endless lightning storm kind of going around the island. And that's what it would look like. And around it would be kind of be like a
crater. This would essentially replace the desert entirely, right?
Yes, essentially this would replace the desert entirely. I mean, the desert could be around it leading up to it, you know? Like the
it
environment.
Could be, but it wouldn't be a part of the
yeah.
environment, really.
Yeah,
obviously,
I mean, like,
this color scheme is not going to convey a desert.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I'm still like you made an impassioned case for ice because of Scorpion Strike's essay, but Scorpion Strike's essay also makes an equally impassioned case for stone.
I feel like the case for stone is actually less. Have you actually read it?
I have. He paints a very in-depth picture of the kind of stuff you can do with stone and crystals and all that, which is basically what I was getting at.
Right, but as
hands-on.
But what I'm saying is that necessarily ice and fire, if you say that ice is not valid, fire is equally
invalid.
Basically,
I feel there's more interesting combat and stuff you could do with stone than ice. Ice basically just tantamount freeze everything, slow everything, encase people in like a block of ice. You know,
I mean,
like, skate around.
Yeah, what
it's
is
all
rock?
Done
no,
down.
Yeah.
If anything, I feel like ice is basically just stone except white.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking of all the combat scenarios, it seems like it'd be basically the same thing, except ice has the added ability of being able to freeze people.
Oh.
And also, I mean, like, in the concept we had for Biocraft, like, we're kind of choreographing the fight stuff in there, I was saying that Kopaka would do, he could do things like lunges, for example, and kind of stretch it out with the ice, and kind of, you know, his move his fighting style would be a lot more graceful and kind of like kind of fencing, while also with the added maneuvering of being able to kind of like skate around. So imagine like a very skilled fencer who's also a very skilled ice skater, kind of like able to create ice around his opponent and kind of slashing at him like that.
I'm still big on the crystal idea.
I know you
I'll
are.
Read this out.
I don't.
I'll read this section out. Besides amorphous rocks and sand, the element of stone also covers pure crystals, which can be used to provide a power set all of their own. The unique properties here revolve around the near-perfect lattice structure that crystals and gemstones can display, which allows them to keep extremely sharp points and edges that make them very dangerous against foes that have some softer parts exposed. In using crystals, creativity is key. Just throwing a bunch of sharp crystals at a foe is sure to have some effect, but an imaginative Toa of Stone could also deploy them in battlefield control by creating a bunch of them on the ground with sharp points pointing upwards, producing something analogous to a field strewn with caltrops. Since the physical and elemental aspects of a Toa of Stone's battle style are never going to be far apart due to the expense of manipulating stone through raw elemental power alone, a Toa of Stone could also coat their blunt, heavy impact weapon and sharp crystals to concentrate the force it applies on the target on a very few small points, maximizing the damage there. Imagine, for example, if Pohatu stuck spikes on his foot extensions. Suddenly his kicks don't just do damage by impact. The sharp points of these hard, if brittle, crystals could pierce armor too. Chances are that crystals are going to be very hard for a Toa of Stone to get a hold of. However, crystals being much more intricate than the most commonly created amorphous rocks and sand, also much more difficult to create on any kind of a scale on a Toa of Stone that can quickly create crystals on the fly, is therefore likely to be one that has established pretty tight control over their element. AKA, this is my part now, kind of what we were thinking about upgrades. But it would start off being very stone and sand heavy, and then gain the power of crystal for visual diversity, which I feel is key. When we're thinking of all this, there's like three things that have to be kept in mind. It's about how the character looks, what the character's area looks like, and how they fight. And I feel like no matter what you may think of stone, whether it's like deserving of being a full element or whatever, it would look very cool. It has a very distinct visual.
Everything that
identity.
You just described that Pohatu can do, that Kapaka could do with ice.
But plus the added doesn't work as well. Because but that's where the lattice shapes come into form.
Which
like
he could also
basic.
Replicate with ice.
Are you seriously going to tell me that like ice is like as hard as a diamond? Because I'm like, I'm curious how you could pull that off.
I mean,
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, we're not saying
I'm
it's
saying
hard.
Visually, there's no difference.
A block of ice in the shape of a rock will have around the same effect as a rock visually.
I read the crystal portion because that's the newest, biggest like spin on the character. I think you could get by like perfectly with just sand. I've already made the case for sand in the past. Like, there's a lot of clever stuff you can do with that. Other media has shown very in-depth things you can do with sand. It just ice has like zero appeal to me, basically.
But
so like out of all
rocks
these,
ice has zero appeal.
Ice has zero appeal to me as well. However, that segment kind of just turned me over towards ice a bit more.
Incredible. Well,
wow.
yeah. If anything, that just solidified even more reason for not to go with stone to me.
Right.
Wow.
I can't see it honestly.
Ice is starting to sound nice.
I'm thinking of as well Pohatu, like if he could visually his style could kind of be you guys remember Mercury from Ruby, right? And how he was able to use kicks. He also kind of like was able to shoot like an energy blast or like some you know thing from his feet as he was doing it. Also, he had like gun boots. So essentially Pohatu's fighting style and kind of visual style would be around the same thing. Eventually like kind of, you know, being able to use it to like to rocket off things, to be able to jump and run around, do all that kind of stuff. As a lightning, that would be something unique to him. That like for instance, like, you know, that couldn't be replicated with Jay from Ninjago, couldn't be replicated with something else. I feel like if we were able to, you know, we could have a visually distinct Pohatu and a visually kind of distinct Kapaka in that sense.
Sure.
As opposed to well, okay, let's also talk about this in general too. Sounds so depressed, Meso. Your impassioned case just didn't hold up. Sorry, bro.
Or you're just too stubbornly against it. You've been like from word go.
I'm against word go because nothing has proven to me that stone can stand by itself on an element and be visually distinctive the way that you're saying it. You keep saying it is, but I don't see it. And if anything,
I mean, the only visual distinction I would see between that and ice would be that this would be purple. I'm assuming.
Right.
which we could also retain the purple color scheme if we make him lightning, so it doesn't really
change
anything.
Between stone, sand, and crystals, stone is one of the most diverse sort of stuff you can do.
Yeah, but it's diverse in the fact that it can replicate things that everybody else can do.
It's like the
Orisa.
It's
just all in one package instead.
It's the Orisa of elements, essentially.
Yeah.
And Orisa works fine. Riddle me this, are we ever going to have Onua, like, levitate, like, a big chunk of, like, solid earth? Is that a thing he's ever going to be able to do? Or are we going to keep him to soil and, like...
Well, I mean, I would say he upgrades to,
but yeah, I
was going to inhabit
it. Yeah, he could upgrade to that.
He could upgrade to it, but that was not part of my initial idea.
Because that's the kind of stuff Bahatu does, like, solid, hard-hitting rocks, earthquakes,
so telekinesis, essentially? I don't know.
I mean, all the characters can, like, levitate stuff. It doesn't mean they have telekinesis. Yeah.
Right, I'm just, like, elements. I don't know. I'm very much not seeing it.
Wait. Can they? Who else does it?
Golly.
Does she levitate water, or does she just cause, like, big waves? I don't recall her ever...
I mean, like,
there's not like there's just floating water usually, is there?
To be
usually it's connected to the ground.
That's fair, actually.
That's fair. I guess she could like create.
I would say that if we were doing Golly, she'd be able to levitate water by kind of like drawing it out and kind
of. Someone brought up what about the Mask of Light healing scene?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go right now and say Mask of Light. Let's ignore that abomination as much as possible.
Yeah, let's get rid of that.
Wow.
I mean, like,
but guys, it's so nostalgic.
I mean, okay, the reason, what I'm thinking is that, like, I don't know why Golly wouldn't be able to levitate water, because it's a, well, it is thing too, Scorpion Strike mentioned.
Yeah,
that, like,
but I mean, if Golly can levitate water, then Poatu of stone could levitate stone, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So my point is, like, if you're going to say no to one toy, you have to say no to all of them. If you say yes to one, you have to say yes to all.
Onua can levitate his. That's what you're saying, right? Because we're saying that Onua can't.
What does Artoa of Air do then?
Well, he levitates air, of course.
well, I mean, the Toa of Wind.
Well, he's like, he's wind, yeah.
Right.
It's all that current.
Well, the thing is that air is much more available than water. It's the one thing that's more currently available than water. So he's able to access a lot of things kind of.
Are they innately. Being limited to the fact that they have to be surrounding their elements to actually use them?
No, I'm saying that, like, it's easier. If you have to generate, it's more energy coming from within you. Right? Like, for instance, if you have to, like, if Golly has to create water, you know, like, organically, then that, I would say that takes way more elemental energy than just taking the part from a lake and just throwing it somewhere. So the thing with Liwa is that he can generate air if he needs to, but because air is just generally always around him, he's able to use that
a lot
more.
He's super OP, which is natural for Liwa.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha. All right. Well, in that case,
what's the verdict here?
We are currently on Lightning Kapaka. Wow, Lightning Poatu.
When
we had like the discussion about Lightning Poatu the other night, like I was like instantly down. My only concern, it would be criticized, like in the hypothetical world where this became a reality, it's just a ripoff of like the Flash. You know, like the lightning dude who's super fast. He may not look the same, but it's not exactly a unique idea.
Sure, you know how like
now I suppose Bionicle G3 isn't a unique idea, you know, but I'm just saying like it's clearly something that like takes inspiration from another.
Everything we have, people would say this is an Avatar ripoff too. People have been saying, certain people in
people
this call
have
been saying
it's
an Avatar ripoff. Everything like
elements.
you're right in that, like, sure, it would have a lot of elements shared with Flash, but like at the same time,
as if Avatar created the concept of having four elements.
At the same time, it's not like lightning has not been affiliated with speed people before. In mythology, lightning's been associated with speed. You know, like Mercury, the messenger god of speed, had like a lightning bolt.
I mean, it depends. I think it really will come down to what Poatu's personality is, because G1 Poatu personality wise is pretty similar to Barry Allen, I would say. And if you make him Lightning Toa, then it's gonna be
does
even
fit
more
a lot
similar.
More. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was only the concept art that swayed me towards Lightning Kopaka from a visual standpoint.
It's funny because I was on the Lightning Kopaka team initially, really got me.
Like the environment plus Kopaka juxtaposing that with the lightning element in the background, that looked good. That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
So I'm not married to the idea, but
I think we can still create a distinct visual thing for the ice village without needing that. The lightning. I think we can come up with something that kind of ties that in. But I do think that like both Lightning Pahatu and the concept I proposed for what his village would look like are distinct enough that I feel like we can make it work.
Mm. I know an easy way to settle this once and for all. If Lightning Kopaka goes through, I would presume we would be changing Pahatu from stone since everybody hates stone. At which point we should just go ahead and make him lightning and keep ice. Because, like, what the heck would we change him to?
Right, exactly. There's that's nothing. The thing. I'm not really thinking of any other element.
If everybody's dead set against, distinct. Like, not keeping stone, there's nothing else to do unless you made him gravity.
I mean, there's always so. Let's just get rid of Pahatu in his entirety.
I don't like five characters. It's four or six.
I agree with you. In which case, get rid of Kopaka in his entirety.
I would agree with you. If we do five, get rid of Pahatu, leave Kopaka. No one is in favor of five. Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. The thing about like Pahatu is that we have to get rid of one character. Pahatu is the one that just is the most redundant. The thing about Kopaka that you want to get rid of is that you felt his element was a little redundant, which I don't think. But if he was lightning, he wouldn't be redundant, and like, you know, the character is definitely not redundant. The character has a distinct place in the dichotomy of the team.
I kind of want to get rid of Kopaka just because we have a lot of people in this live studio audience that really likes him. And I just kind of want to throw like my personal like screw you to them.
Wow!
I really like Kopaka, man.
Kopaka,
you seem to like really want to make sure no one wants to watch the show. You're like, listen, the original characters. It's like,
every one of your decisions is out of spite at this point.
Has there been any feedback on that like discussion? I know I've seen a few comments here and there about new characters.
Some people said that they might be interested in it. There's like one or two people. I think like the majority. My thing is not so much the idea of making new characters, because I would much rather we do some new characters in the thing. I just think that like as a whole, the concept. Yeah, it's as a concept and as everything, we lose the idea of the show. And
nobody would listen to that if it's original characters. Oh, TTV's doing a fan fiction.
Someone says Sonics and Lightning.
Sounds like a lot of words that don't actually mean anything.
You sound like a lot of words that don't actually mean anything.
Okay,
Mr. You guys are so mean to each other.
Whoa! Listen,
words that don't mean anything. I'll be on time for the podcast.
You wanted four elements, like every other element theme ever.
Well, that's because it's traditional.
Name two of them.
To be fair, it's a very traditional like concept that's existed since the beginning of time. The four elements, that's like a very, very old mythological concept. It's not just, like, everything that comes takes from that element of mythology.
Pulling from the real world? Shh, Kahi, calm down. We can't do that. Inspiration's unoriginal. We can't do that, Kahi.
I bet you want it's humans stealing. And Bionicle next.
It's stealing.
Draw from the real world. Get humans up in here.
It's okay.
I was not opposed to that.
Obviously, TLDR has influenced you. It's fine. We understand. We've accommodated for Ninjago fans before. Purple's a cast member.
Ninjago fans for life.
I do not actually know what point you're trying to get at.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Ninjago started at four.
Yeah, I think you said Ninjago has four.
Yeah.
Ninjago has way more than four.
It started out with four.
Yeah.
Started out. There we go. Started out.
Okay.
Yeah, the elements don't really mean anything in Ninjago.
They don't.
They're stupid. They might as well drop them entirely.
Master of speed for life.
The moment they introduced like the Green Ninja and his element was power, I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know, the elements are dumb. But, yeah,
I think I would actually prefer Ninjago if it had no elements at all.
I think that's what they're going for in the new movie. I think. I'm not sure. Yeah, it looks like they're actually using like actual kung fu and like.
Honestly,
you know.
It's like it's such a crutch at this point. That it's just like, okay, what new true potential can we reach to increase their elemental powers that we
and
can immediately drop in the next
Cole
season?
And his stupid glowing arms.
Yeah, Cole's
it's so dumb.
Fist now. Anyhow, so one thing.
Sorry,
that
Ninjago
actually...
fans. I'm a Ninjago fan too, but yeah. Sometimes you just gotta admit your flaws.
One thing that someone suggested in the in the comments of YouTube. I'm trying to see if I can find this specific comment, but it's something that I saw mentioned every places as well. We actually really liked it. Is that the fact that the elements would be based around environments and kind of like mm-hmm. coming from environments, which is actually something that I like a lot because...
Yeah. Have we actually talked about this in the podcast?
We have not talked about this before. It was put in the comments.
Bring this
up
because this I thought this idea was freaking stupid when I first read it, first of all. I just want to get that out there. When I initially saw this and read it, I was like, I hate this. And then I read it again, then I thought about it some more, then I read it again, and I was like, you know what, I actually kind of like that idea. I'm just going to take back, back that, oh, that's a really stupid comment.
Yeah, when you suggested it too, the first time I heard it, I'm like, what? No. And then I thought about it.
That's so
like,
dumb.
Actually, you know what, that actually is not too bad. I mean, in that case, like, the one thing I do like about it, the whole elements being tied to the location, is one, it makes the island a bit more of a character, right? Because, like, then the locations in the island actually are really important, because that means there might be a new element attached to it. Additionally, it also kind of defines what we are considering an element, in that regard, you know? And it, like, because we're kind of, like, worried about the restrictions about, like, you know, what exactly defines an element. We were talking about the whole thing of ice, so... let me see if I can find this quote. But
I'm having some difficulty finding it as well.
Here we go.
SW
Cronin, he said, like, this idea might be a little too different for some people, but what if the Toa powers are not defined based on element, but instead on climate/region? The distinction would be able to justify the elemental problem. Toa Earth could be kind of like a Toa of the forest, even though you call it, the element is called Earth. You know, that environment and everything is kind of like the forest. So rather than ice, you have Toa of the tundra. You know, the ocean, I would say, so like, I would say that, like, I do like the concept. I was thinking of it, of like having, you know, the Toa of Ice, but also having another title that's like Toa of the Blank. So, you know, so even though they would
right,
still
Toa
be Toa
of
Ice,
the Blank.
Toa of the Tundra, Toa
I like
of,
the idea of the Village of the Blank
yeah,
as well.
Village of the Storm, for example, for Hatu's village.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Village
of the Tundra.
That would be really cool.
Right. Village of the Tundra.
Yeah.
What about Liwa?
Village of the air.
Village of the Sky. Yeah.
Village of the Wind.
Work.
Yeah.
Sky. Actually, yeah, Sky.
Village of the Sky, I feel, is
Village
like
Village of the Sky.
Awesome. Yeah.
Toa of the Sky. That sounds really freaking cool.
Let's do it.
Let's I'm down.
So, why not?
That's
you know
cool.
what? YOLO. Let's
right.
do...
Let's
Someone write it down. I want to make concept art of all this.
Let's decide this once and for all. Who gets lightning?
Pahatu.
Let's just do a vote. I'm at this point, for the sake of preserving... this whole experience, as much as I like Lightning Kapaka, I'll say Pahatu gets lightning.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's on board with Pahatu.
Cool.
And in the studio, live studio audience, everyone's voting Pahatu as well. So,
someone
says
Tahu
gets lightning.
Why must one change?
Says, why must one change? I agree with you, buddy. But change is for
we're gonna
the best.
Stone out of spite. But I don't care either way. Pohatsu's really good as lightning.
Scorpion Strike says ... if it has to be included. Yeah, Pohatsu.
Sorry, right. Pohatsu. Hope you like the change.
I mean, lightning's pretty cool. It's gonna be fun.
I think the change is necessary.
I'm your Huckleberry. Give lightning the time.
With that said,
We can introduce.
With that said, if we're basing their elements not off elements themselves, but off the region that they come from. When you start calling Pohatu the Toa of the desert, living in the village of the desert, it starts to help when it comes to differentiating between him and Anua. Especially if Anua's the Toa of the Force.
There was a comment about that. They're like, if you start calling him Toa of the desert, then it's a lot better because you can then imagine like a bunch of people like wandering around in the desert building like temples. A bunch of Matoran wearing, like, ponchos, some sort of Rahi that they ride, and, like, it's a contrast, a nomadic desert tribe.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think it does help sell that stone thing a bit more.
I vote for Pohatu and stone. So, and Kopaka with ice.
So there's no lightning? Light,
so here's the problem that we're going to run into, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly we're all like, you know what, stone can actually work. And then the last three podcasts that we've done have been worthless.
I still like Pohatu as lightning. If we really do want a stone village, I guess we can have the nomads
in
the desert. Sure.
I really like the G1 dichotomy between Pohatu being the toe of stone, wearing the mask of speed, because stones aren't really known for their cheetah-like reflexes.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Wait. So you're like, did you? So your reasoning is, I like this because it doesn't make sense.
It's subversion of expectation.
Okay, is what it is. This is a point I don't think we've ever thought about in this entire discussion. But Walksite just brought up a great point. Pohatu literally means stone.
Okay, I'm 100% in favor of Pohatu with stone. That reminds me, Kopaka means ice.
Yeah,
Kopaka does mean ice.
That's the pitfall.
That really is the pitfall. If we want to call them the same thing, it's going to be kind of stupid.
Toa of the stone.
Let's not pretend that these names kind of get away from us.
There was a suggestion. I forgot where it was, but somebody suggested replacing Pohatu with Variki.
Yeah, you know what?
Sure. Oh my gosh.
What?
No. Like,
I mean, like, you know...
Variki. What does Variki mean? Is that a real word?
I have no idea. No, it has a name. It has a meaning in the fandom, and that's all that matters, Meso.
Yeah, I'm really not feeling lightning as much as I was when I first came into this podcast.
What? For nobody?
You've invalidated you've invalidated the last half hour.
The naming thing really got me. It's a very profound point.
Okay, you know what? Fine. I mean, like, the status always quo remains the same.
I didn't realize. If I'd known, this would have, like, switched you up.
It takes 10 freaking years to persuade you of something. But then the stupidest little thing comes up, really, and you're like,
maybe,
okay.
I mean, maybe you guys just aren't really good at persuading anybody. Or you're just kind of blow, unlike our fans, which are clearly more intelligent than you.
It's kind of a big thing, the meaning of a word. But I think that's what
it kind of is. When you have a character who's literally named after his element, and you change the element, it takes away the meaning of the name.
Okay, Yola, let's
do it. The meaning of the character.
Ice and stone remain.
What?
We'll introduce the mythical Toa of Lightning later on.
The problem is, like, now that I'm thinking about the whole region thing, I also don't have that much of a problem with it, which frustrates me so much. It frustrates me. It's like,
all right, somebody.
Hello, guys.
Somebody take that.
It wasn't me.
There you go.
I didn't say anything, though. I was saying frustrate.
I know you were. That is what you were saying. That's correct.
Live studio audience.
I said,
heard.
I said frustrate. And I was like, I started to say frustrate instead.
I know that is what you did. Okay. Okay.
Remember to here's become a Patreon.
I have a compromise.
I actually misspoke this time. It wasn't even a thing.
I know. I have a compromise.
All right,
let's keep Kopaka and Pohatu as they are, but let's introduce not the mythical Toa of Light later on, but Variki, the Toa of Lightning, who lives in the Village of the Storm.
Dude, people are going to be so frustrated when they listen to this.
Frustrated.
Because, like, I understand, and I do agree, ice and stone both have, like, valid points. I don't want to waste the concept of lightning solely because I wrote it off at first. Because I was like, I don't want to rip off Ninjago, but then there were cool ways to, like, make it distinct and different and fresh and fun. And I don't want to, like, waste that.
Our concept is seven Toa.
Yeah, basically. That way we can still kind of keep that without falling into cliches of, like, light v shadow.
I mean, to be fair, now, I mean, again, now that we're thinking about what could happen with the regions and stuff, that doesn't make it too far-fetched. We could have, you know, we could have these Toa kind of go around. We could have
other
villages.
See, that's the thing. The region thing. Honestly, Kali, the second you meant, I don't know if you heard me, I said, oh no, the second you started talking about the region thing, because I realized at that moment that I was going to be in favor of Snow.
Yeah,
Kopaka, Toa, the Tundra, and Pohatu.
The thing that got me
is
that as I was describing it, I also like thought of a really cool thing with the desert village, which was like so you know you have like this the same thing kind of in Pokoro. It's like a desert. It's a sand and everything, but there's also these giant kind of like crystals that are like embedded in the thing, and they glow. Right, they're glowing every, you know, in the same way that they were in G2. They're glowing at
almost
night.
Almost like light stones.
Yeah, like giant light stones in the desert. that they form cool. their villages around.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So
like
at night,
beacon.
Right? Kind of.
Oh, yeah.
So that
some concept art of
that
this.
makes it more visually distinct than like the just a desert flat desert village.
Is
right.
This like a toe of light?
No, this would be the crystals with
it's basically giant light stone.
Oh.
But it keeps that crystal element.
I see.
Kopaka Toa of the Tundra and Pahatu Toa of the Desert. That is what we
yes, kind of like the G2 Earth region concept art, actually.
So,
G2 Earth region was cool.
Let me get this
apparently
straight.
Apparently, Tahu is the Maori word for husband.
well, okay, so let's ship...
Toa marriage.
Tahu ex Gali.
Toa
marriage.
Toa monogamy.
What the heck?
What does Gali mean?
Okay, so here's something else.
Good.
So okay, what's good, final thing? Are we
versus good?
After all of this, after ages and ages of discussion, are we just sticking with the exactly yeah. what we came up before?
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
redefining Earth.
Well, no, basically... no, not exactly the same. The two differences that we can take from all this rigmarole of like two podcasts is
Earth is different now.
Earth is different.
Earth is different.
Air is wind.
Air is wind.
Air
lightning
is wind.
Also a thing. Do we want to? Okay, so.
I do want to use lightning at some point.
Is everyone on board with the village being the source of the elements, that kind of thing, like that kind of location?
Yes.
Locale?
Yeah. Maybe not village, but the
not village,
region,
sorry,
yes.
The region.
Region right, being yeah. the source of their power,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Charges them up.
For,
yeah.
Awesome.
For the moment, I am. However, I feel I know where this is going to go next week, so I'm going to be a little hesitant.
Well, okay.
In what way? I'm
curious.
Based on something yeah. Kahi pitched over the week. That you guys weren't made aware of yet.
Oh, this.
Got it. In that case, we'll build suspense.
No, I want to talk about it.
No. I think this is a great way. After we just ruined the last 3 episodes.
No, that was hilarious, dude. I love that.
No, listen, I think that was great.
I feel this kind of stuff probably happens at LEGO.
The whole point of this show is to see like how hard is it to do what LEGO does. Right? What was the whole... And they probably did have this discussion going into G2 when it comes to redesigning the elements, and we never got to see it. And so for you guys, yeah. you kind of get to see this whole thing where it's like, oh, guys, you went this entire
way around. They were probably like,
around.
For G2, we're going to bring Bionicle back. Let's do something cool and different with it. And they got a bunch of concepts, and they were like, yeah, maybe we should just do it with it before.
I'm so glad
like,
I was consistent throughout all this.
You know what's amazing? Is that this podcast, this episode, could not have happened without the studio audience.
Honestly, yeah. yes. If
that
ever there was
would not have happened
bigger
the way
incentive
it did.
For you guys becoming a Patreon member, patron, and joining us for our live studio audience, if we could ever like get Discord working for like a lot of people, it's out of our hands. File a Patreon support ticket, by the way, if you're still having Discord troubles, if
we
understand.
We literally
but,
tried
like,
everything we could.
Credit to play with fire _.
It's really great having you guys here giving feedback because it's an objective perspective. We're so caught up like talking, it helps being able to see like live feedback. So
yeah.
We really do appreciate it.
Prentice says, join a live studio audience and you too can destroy 3 podcasts worth of work.
I love it.
That's great.
That's basically what it is. So to summarize, we have Tahu, Toa of Volcano ? Liwa Toa of the Sky, Onua Toa of the Forest, Kopaka Toa of the Tundra, Gali Toa of the Ocean, and Pahatu Toa of the Desert. And then their elements there.
And then, of course, the elements are also referenced. We're not replacing the name of the elephants.
Of course, it's just like
elephants
for visualizing.
They're replacing the names.
Replacing
the
elephants.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the elemental creatures should be. Just giant elephants. Just kind of
I'm
lumbering
down.
In the...
The element elephant.
And then our secret trump card that we're going to bring in either the 3rd year or the 4th year if it gets renewed. Voriki, Toa of the Storm.
Oh, is there a Clinton card?
Okay,
wow.
Come on. Get out of here. Leave.
Alright.
Your flip-floppy opinion's no longer wanted.
Listen.
Oh, please.
Feedback.
Get out of here.
Alright. So thank you all very much for listening to this intriguing episode of the TTV podcast. To recap, go check out Vin's mask shop.
Yeah.
Go, Vin, I hope you keep enjoying the Switch. And continue to leave some feedback for our element discussion on the TTV message boards or in the comments of this video. Just because of like what we decided this week, we're always open to feedback. We want to hear if you guys have some thoughts of that we might not have thought of. Pass them along. Doesn't matter if you think we've already made up our minds or not. We still want to hear. And as well, continue the discussion about like, even though I don't think we're going to do this, if you have feedback about making new characters and whatever, just keep that coming.
Yeah, because... one of the things I would say now, because we did have a lot of element pulls in the actual topic, we are going to accept our, I would say for right now, our decision is basically canon at this point. What we decided with all this stuff is going to be kind of set in stone. So you guys can still discuss about different elements, how it ties to regions and different concepts for those regions. I think that is perfectly valid and would be really cool. However, if you are going to continue discussion about should the Toa be different elements or like, you know, that kind of thing, we're probably going to like curb that for now.
This is going to make a couple of topics upset.
Right. Well, I mean, like, you can still discuss other elements and the villages for those elements, or the locale example for those elements, you know. But otherwise, I would say that this decision is mostly final. And it's odd, too, that, like, after everything, I can't believe it, we're going back. We're going back to the OG.
It's hilarious, dude.
D1.
It's...
But I now got what I want. Only we had just read that guy's comment 2 episodes ago.
I know, right?
What do you?
No, he commented on the last episode, so it was like 4 days ago. We couldn't.
There was literally no way to prevent this.
Yeah.
What do you think, guys? You think next week we should finally return to how this all started and tackle personality of these characters?
I do have.
I kind of want to start building the world a little bit. But.
That's what I want to as well, and so next week will be really. Man,
world building.
Like, there's already some ideas that we've thrown out that haven't been on recording yet.
The good old trigger word for a lot of people: world building. It's important, guys.
I want to have a discussion right now, though. Me and LJ had a thing with discussion beforehand. I think it has a. All right. Well,
next week.
There's even some ideas that we've heard from fans that I think we want to bring in too.
So post all your world building stuff in the Braconical forum, board.ttbpodcast.com. Do it.
Indeed. And thank you all very much for following along with this ongoing project. Before we end today, I would like to give a shout out to every week. We like to take a look at our patrons who go and subscribe at patreon.com/ttbchannel and help make this all possible. Give a shout out to one of them. This week's shout out will be patron Boulder. Boulder, but the catch is that the second boulder has a U. Get it? The boulder. Boulder. It's pretty great.
Uh-huh.
Boulder doesn't find your comment.
Real funny guy.
Boulder for life. Anyway, thank you, Boulder, and all of the patrons for helping make this possible. It's a great name. And thank you all. We'll see you next week.
And remember, if you're a Patreon patron and you've signed up for the perk that allows you to join the live studio audience on Discord and you aren't getting it to work, you're going to have to contact Patreon support.
Yeah, we tried doing some stuff manually and it's just not working on our end. So you will need to make sure Patreon support is able to link you with your account.
Right.
That's the response we got back.
For now, thank you, everybody. We will see you all next week. I'm Meso.
I'm Rotoran.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Ben.
I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
I'm E6 Trooper. Thanks, Meso.
I'm legit amazed that you're still there. How you doing, X?
Yeah, I'm sorry. X, you kind of like...
No, it's been a ride, dude. Like, I just...
Did you have any... Yeah, never mind.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.